So good morning, everyone. We are here today on this wonderful, hot, sunny Thursday, and finding that our phones don't stop ringing with inquiries about franchises. So I thought I'd drag in our very own Izaz Ali for a very quick, brief introduction into franchises and what they are, essentially. So Izaz, good morning.
Good morning.
What's a franchise, Izaz?
So a franchise is essentially a business and or an idea, concept, and a way of delivering that business, concept or idea, and then formulating that into a system so that that system can be replicated time and time again to the same standard as what was originally envisaged. So take, for example, a pizza business like Domino's, yep. Papa John's, Pizza Hut. They've all got a similar theme to them, and that's based on either a corporate model whereby they roll out their own stores or they offer the opportunity to franchise to allow others to copy, with their permission, their get up and go, their setup, their practices, procedures, into a complete system and business model.
So is there any sort of predetermined expectation for someone to be able to set up a franchise? Because you were saying about it being a business or a model. What's the expectations before someone was to come to you, for example, and say, look, this is what my idea is? What sort of circumstance would you say, look, I don't think you're quite ready for it?
It really depends on the setup of their business. So you'd sort of go back to basics and look at some really, really elementary things. So, for example, if they're using a name, is that name trademarked? You know, do you have the rights to use that name? What about the right to use that name within the territory that you wish to operate in? And then aside from that, we'd look at the business model itself. You know, what sort of interest have you got? How successful are you? Very difficult to go to market and try to bring on people on board when you've not got a successful franchise yourself. Mm. So there'll be a number of considerations to be sort of taken into account prior to that.
And then, of course, the next question is, you know, considering myself as someone that would phone you up and say, hi, this is what my idea is. You've now said, okay, yeah, it seems brilliant. You've done a great job so far. There are obviously legal implications of what you're doing, but the most important thing is, of course, ensuring that you've got a solid agreement in place, a franchise agreement. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes. So the franchise agreement will effectively be the last thing. Prior to that, it would be a really sort of long, drawn-out, thoughtful process as to what is it that we're actually franchising, what is it that we excel in, what's the package that we're going to offer, because obviously someone's got to come along and make a payment to you in terms of royalties on an ongoing basis, marketing fees, and they want the right to use that name. So you've got to put something together which is of value and that someone else can extract a value from it, and they want that name and they want that setup to do that. So you're effectively offering them a chance, a route to market, quicker than what they would normally be able to do themselves, and they'll have a complete package and hopefully be based on the success of that brand and that business prior to them joining you.
Okay, so that's a good point. So it's all about money, of course it is, and it's all about you being able to make money as the franchisor. So just terminology-wise, well, we've got a franchisor, a franchisee.
Yeah.
Is there any other terminology that you think it'd be important for our listeners?
No, just mainly franchisor, franchisee, then you've got the end client, so you've got your customers, so that's really the three parties to
it. But then there's a lot of money involved, so it would be a case of you're going to pay me a lump sum plus a license fee, or it really is, I take it, it's not set in stone, it can be whatever it is that you decide as the franchisor you wish to agree with your franchisee.
Correct. So
it can vary.
Yeah, it can vary, because, you know, for example, you could go to a company and they say, here's a list of our, so for example, if you're going to open up a pizza store, this is the design and layout of our store. These are the minimum requirements for the store. And with regards to that, they can give them a blueprint of a plan as to where everything needs to go. And you can use your own builders to do that, to build it to that plan. But normally they would have a list of approved builders or suppliers. And then you could obtain a quote from them and then use those guys to do it, because they'll know exactly where, you know, each item needs to come from, what's approved, what's not approved, and they'll be able to build to a certain standard.
Okay. So you've got all of these things in place now, whatever it may be, and the list could be, you know, as long as your arm. You've got these things in place, and now we can step you know, forward to the franchise agreement side of things. Now, that can either be the franchisor has got a template that's been set up by his legal or her legal representatives, or it could be that the franchisee themselves has looked at this, you know, 50-page document or however long it is, and they're going to need to understand what's contained within it. Now, we offer, obviously, those services to both the franchisor and franchisee, but essentially, what is this agreement? I mean, is this, you know, something that can be varied at times? Is it a contract that's binding and that's the end of it?
Okay, so it's a contract that is binding and effectively that's the end of it.
Okay.
Over time, however, and case in point is in relation to the pandemic that we've just come out of, mm-hmm. And at times like that when there's franchising fees payable to franchisors, some franchisors have been quite relaxed about that, okay. Knowing that if the franchisee has been closed for whatever reason due to government restrictions, then no franchise fee is payable during that period. And also given the change in trade for people that have been affected by the pandemic, that then allows them to really reach out to the goodwill of the franchisor and have a discussion as to what they can and what they can't do. On sophisticated businesses, franchisors have access to the till systems and live data as to what, how the stores are performing. So there's a lot of information that they can ascertain themselves, and that obviously assists in any discussions with regards to that. But usually the franchise agreements are long and drawn out. They are quite detailed. I'd be concerned.
I've seen a few and been involved with a few underneath you when I was doing my training, and I do remember thinking to myself at times, blimey, there is a lot of information in here that you've got to look through.
It's one of those documents that I think that you really do need to sort of take to bed with you for bedtime reading, because it's actually a marriage in effect that you're signing up to. And usually with the franchises, there's a lot of investment involved. Mm. So whilst you're relying on them to provide and assist with what they've got as a winning formula, there's a hell of a lot of work that you need to put in your end, and is being ready for that and understanding what your rights and obligations are. And at that point, it's really important to obviously take sensible legal advice at the time to say, well, look, this has landed. This is the business that we believe in. Mm. We just want to make sure that we can dot the I's and cross the T's and ensure that from what the sales reps have told us, this agreement reflects that and it accords with our understanding of what we're buying into.
Okay, brilliant. Well, I've got one final question for you, and it might not be something that you can just suddenly reel off. When you are looking at a franchise agreement as a legal representative on behalf of the franchise or the franchisee, certainly let's go with the franchisee, what are the very key things that you're going to be looking for in a franchise agreement?
I'm going to be looking at what help and support the franchisor is going to give. Okay. That's really, really key. And if they're involved in any store openings or they're providing any equipment or access to builders and the likes, what will be their responsibility in relation to it? Will there be a sort of an initial period whereby the fees are a lot lower, so that it gives you a chance to sort of hit the ground running, establish yourselves? What marketing support will they provide to you? That is key, having sufficient marketing support from them to help with the launch in the area that you're coming into. Moving forwards, are they supplying ingredients or any other services? What are their charges for that? What other support can they give with regards to that? And then what happens if you want to get out of this in the future? Mm. Is there an option for you to sell up? Is it a sale back to the franchisor, or can you go on some sort of network to sell to with regards to that franchise? So all of these sort of things get taken into consideration.
Wow, you just rattled them off without even having to think about it. So thank you for that, Izaz. Right, okay, I hope that was helpful, everyone. Just thought we'd give you 10 minutes of 101 franchises, because we get a lot of inquiries and these sort of things when Izaz picks up the phone and speaks to people. They're all the questions that are asked. If you do have any further questions, please do not hesitate to call us or drop us an email, and it'll probably be Izaz himself that you'll speak to. So thank you very much. Speak soon.